Okay, so how about just close your eyes for a few moments and bring your awareness inside as you take a breath. And just let your mind relax, let your body relax. And feel what's gone on for you inside today. This family, this beautiful family of light in the room, you've touched each other by being in each other's light. You've listened, you've thought, you've asked questions, you've created a new grid, a new awareness, perhaps. And that's a beautiful thing, whatever it is, however it is for you. And as you begin to deepen your breathing and soften your awareness, you can feel that place inside where you are receiving the honoring and the love that you are. That it doesn't live outside of you. That it doesn't come from anyone else. That space, that place of the divine source of all love lives inside of you and lives through you into the beauty and the magic of this human experience that we get to have together here by choice on this day. Take a breath. And let your hearts, your minds, and your souls welcome the loving and honoring messages.
So it is good day to you, huh? Very good to see your energy, your light, your brightness, your divine presence. Now that you're full up with all sorts of energy and all sorts of information, and you know that where the Lemurians are here and the Pleiadians are here and the Arcturians and the Syrians, well, it's just a big party, eh? Coming to Texas. We think it's always a party in Texas. Yes? It's just a little different vibration, huh? That is where they got those dances in the lines, huh? We do not dance. However, we have seen it. Understand and know that with that vibrational energy, with that frequency, it is a bit easier to go into that multidimension that we were speaking of earlier, a bit easier to acknowledge that focus. You are the change makers of this planet. You are the change makers in South America, Central America, and North America. Are you aware of that? Well, now you know. If you weren't aware before, because that energy reverberates out, up and down, and in that capacity, the change connects with your heart first. That is why we believe people are so proud that they are from Texas. And in that capacity, they acknowledge that energy. Because they come here and shift the way one thinks, the way one feels, the way one connects, and the way one acts. And so we congratulate you for that. We know that there are many here that are not from Texas. However, things will change once they have been here. You see, in that energy of change, that is the multidimensionality of it. We want you to know that that energy transcends all things. We told you a story about an elephant before, a group of elephants. May we tell you another story about the elephants? When our group, the group with the vessel Marilyn and the Joy, arrived in Thailand at the Elephant Nature Park, they went in and they saw a wondrous thing that they had never seen before. And that was a nanny elephant, which was an older elephant, and two babies, although babies, we use that term lightly, they only weighed about 6 tons each. And these two babies were 4 and 5 years old, and they were playing in the water, just as children play in the water. And one would be looking about with their trunk high in the air, and the other one would be under the water, and their trunk was like a periscope, looking about, and then they'd bring their head up and spray the group. You see, that element of play is what opens the hearts of humanity. We remind you to play. Now, the little elephant, or the big elephant, that came out of the water, that had the periscope trunk, when he got out, he literally refused to go where the other elephants were going. He came over, as the Mahout said, he was a naughty elephant. But it was unusual for him to be so naughty because he was determined to play with our group. And he was doing all sorts of antics to play with our group. And we asked, is that common? And he says, well, he likes new people, but he's usually not so determined. You see, there's a portion of an elephant's brain. Humans have the same portion, it's just gone dormant. But there's a portion of the elephant's brain that remembers their ancestry. So somewhere along the line, this little 6-ton, 5-year-old elephant named Faru remembered our group. According to the Buddha, we had been on that land before with that elephant. So understand that even though it may be thousands of years later, you have a connection with all things on this planet. You have a connection with the energy. You have a connection with the people. You have a connection with the stone. You have a connection with the Sphinx. You have a connection with the carvings. You have a connection with the seedlings that become trees. You are the protectors. You are the ones who are caring for this planet. That is why, as Kryon says, you will be finding new sources of fuel. That is why things are shifting. What an exciting time to be on this planet. How many of you wake up every day feeling that way? So we'll talk to the 20 right here. The rest of you, you might as well jump on board, because you're here. Surprise. You get the opportunity every day to wake up. As the Joy said earlier, 200 million people do not. We say, celebrate that. When your feet hit the ground in the morning, celebrate. Hoop, whoopee, we woke up again. Yes. And then celebrate the fact that you can look outside. And it's raining, or it's cloudy, or it's storming, or it's sunny, or it's snowing, or whatever it is a celebration. Because it is an imprint on your soul. And you get the opportunity to decide every day what you do with that. That imprint. You get the opportunity that if you have a job that you don't love, why? You get to find something to love about it. so you can experience it, and then maybe you'll be released with ease and grace and by choice. Or if you don't love it, then maybe you'll be released anyway and get to try something new. Remember your purchase order to the universe. Every thought, every feeling, every intention goes out to the universe. And you know it is being told yes to. The universe only says yes to you. That is it. So if you are jumping out of bed excited for another day to see what wondrous things are going to happen, guess what? Wondrous things will happen. And if you're dragging out of bed thinking, oh no, I've got another day, guess what? Your whole day may feel that way. The choice is yours. And you never know when you're going to run into a baby elephant that recognizes your energy. Or maybe a baby dog or a baby child or an adult child or a grandmother or grandfather that knows your energy. And then you have the opportunity to say yes to them as you have said yes to yourself. Dearest beings of light, as the change makers, you are paving the way. We are thankful for that. We are thankful you volunteered to come here at this point in time. We are thankful that you're each starting or continuing your spiritual practice. Right? Hello? Thank you. We are thankful for you. We see you. We know you. We hold your heart in our heart. We understand you. And we learn from you as we teach you as well. Namaste.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. In a giant imaginary ocean, perhaps multidimensional, there is a ship. Enormous it is in this parable. And you've come across it at night and you can see. Enormity is not a good word, it's simply immense. As it pushes through the ocean, as it has for eons. It's one that as it passes you, you can see it. As high out of the water as it is below, you cannot even fathom how big it might be. Briefly, you catch the name in peeling paint. It starts with an H, and the ship's name is humanity. The ship is sinking, I know it is, he said. Wide-eyed, a man from at least 50 cultures below the promenade. Deck that very few go to, they said, we can hear it. He was talking to one of the ship's mates who happened to be doing some maintenance, sweeping up, as they say. And the mate said, well, is there water? And he said, there will be. We can hear it. It's creaking in an odd way. There's noises that we've never heard before. This ship is falling apart. We can hear it. We know we're so far down. And the mate said, have you talked to the ones that are further down? And he said, we won't go there. That's ugly down there. We don't want to be there. But what we can hear, we know this ship is not going to be afloat very long. Everything seems to change here. It's been a certain way in my father's and my grandfather's day, and even in my day, but not now. We're hearing the planking start to break and chip apart, and noises we've never heard, snaps and buckles, and this ship's going to sink. Well, until you've got water, don't bother me. And that's the way it was, as report after report seemed to filter up, even into the wheelhouse, where those in charge would smirk and say, no, it's just their imagination. It's always been this way. It will be this way. It's seaworthy. It always has been. It's not perfect, but it will continue. And so it was in this ship called humanity. As it passed the marker that nobody thought it would ever pass, as it went into uncharted waters called 2012 and beyond. And the one from the 50 decks below the promenade was correct, because there were things going on. Things going on that nobody expected, and it was frightening. They'd always been in this ship and carried them well through this ocean called Earth, reality. What was this they were hearing? Frightening it was. Some were getting together and talking about it. Over a period of time, there were groups involved in what they were going to do about it, because they were all hearing it. It seems like the lower decks, they heard it first, because they were in the water. And the ones down below 50, well, they didn't go there, because it was too dark to see. But then there were the ones who came from 70 decks below the promenade. You could barely recognize them. They were in cultures that were horrific. Were there things that you just don't do, where children don't live long? Or if they do, they'll cut off their hands. Decks that no one wanted to see, especially the ones on the promenade. No one wanted to ever go there. But that's where they said the rats were. There are rats, and they're coming up. Skipper always knew they were rats, but he said they, as long as they stay below 50 down, we're fine. But now they're starting to see them. On 40 below and 30 below. The rats seemed to come out of nowhere. And some of the crew said, we don't have rats. This ship is not rat infested. They found out differently when the one started screaming on the promenade that rats were there. It just seemed like the darkest of the dark coming up from the places no one wanted to go was starting to show itself in this ship. Crew members were sent to destroy the rats as fast as they could, but they were too many. Just another sign. What happens when a ship is going to sink? Well, the rats know, you know. They're leaving the ship. Couldn't hide it after a while. That's the way rumors are. Even 50 decks below, rumors spread. They spread to the elite. And the first five decks, we'll call it the first world decks, they started to be aware of it. The food was tasting different. The air conditioning wasn't working as well. It was getting a little too cold. Things that had always worked seemed to be breaking. Then they got word that Deck 40 was very, very unhappy with Deck 39. Maybe not a war, but at least a revolution. Now, that hadn't happened before. They were over that. That was ancient history. 39 and 40 had made peace a long time ago. But suddenly that was threatened. There was unrest. Everything below deck 10 seemed to be starting to hear things. Now even some of the ones in deck 6 were hearing things. And the things they were hearing were not pleasant if you were on a boat. Not at all. You're hearing splitting of timbers. This ship's going to sink. Is there any water? The skipper would say. And they'd send down the crewmen and they'd say, no, there is no water. And yet something else they noticed. Down in steerage, the bottom of the bottom, where everybody is in control of how fast that ship goes and how that machinery works, they were all arguing. Because it seemed like the ship was slowing down. And yet the propellers were going just as fast as they ever had before. But the paradigm of how fast things should go with how much fuel is used and where you get it and how you get it was breaking down. There are even some that said, we may run out of fuel. We're going to have to do something different, or this ship is going to stop. And everybody knows that the ship can't stop, because if it stops, it'll pull water into it. It must keep going. And so, dear ones, this parable continues. And you could say that year after year, it got worse. The rats kept coming. Now they noticed that even the rats were abandoning ship, literally jumping out. They didn't want any part of it. Some of those in the decks below were so unhappy and so sure the ship was not going to sink, they took their own lives. They were convinced it wasn't going to work. Such is what cultures do 50 decks down, I'm told. Ones that you would never want to see. Ones that are controlled by those who are unbalanced and dysfunctional. And so this ship called humanity was in trouble, seemingly. And here's what I want to tell you. That in those years of this ship slowing down with all these noises, these crackles and bangs, they started to see it happening. Oh, the first one who saw it couldn't believe it. Looking over the side, he saw a piece, a huge piece of the side of the wooden ship that they were on break off and fall into the water. Break off and fall into water. He reported no one believed him until they took a look. They said, this is impossible. This ship is put together so well. It's always held together. Eons it's held together. It doesn't break apart like this. But they all knew that if it breaks apart that much more, and if enough of those planks fall off, they were all doomed. Up there in the first five decks, well, they didn't really get those messages. They got other messages. They got messages that things might happen, but nobody said that they were going to sink. And if they had, they wouldn't have believed it, because, after all, they're abundant there. They have enough. And to think that the ship called humanity might actually sink was not in their reality. But some of them saw the planks go down in the water and the wood chip off when they were up having a drink on the promenade. And that word got around too. Something's going on. If you listen to your news, dear ones, the ship is sinking. It's sinking in every single way that you're used to, and all the things that you might count on are starting to erode. That's what they would tell you. Because that's what it looks like in that dimension that humanity has always been in. You see, the ship is not going to last, they say. Let me introduce you to something that some heard and some did not. Some saw and some did not. One of the children sneaking in to one of the decks that is odd and unusual. A deck you were told to stay away from. Because on that deck there were things unexplainable that go on. So you don't want to go there. But children, they're inquisitive. And they went to that deck. There was a lot of light there, more than usual. But the thing that they heard that they'll never forget was the singing. A whole deck. So many people were singing songs. And they had lyrics to songs. And the child that heard the lyrics was making out the story they were singing. And the story they were singing was welcoming of a new ship. Singing about the ship. Only there was no doom and gloom. And he listened carefully and they said, "The new ship that glistens in the sun." He didn't know what to make of it. But the one singing did. What eventually happened in this parable was all of the old wood on that ship broke away. All of it. Fell into an older ocean and vanished. What you couldn't see unless you were outside of that ship, which no one was as the pieces broke away, they exposed something else. A wonderful, brand new, shiny surface that all the time had been there but not revealed, had been there waiting for the old to break off when it was time. And all the other decks, all they saw was the breakup. They didn't see the new shiny, the metal that was replacing the wood. The ship seemed to be slowing down in the water because the engines were old and they weren't functioning right. Until they got new engines. Engines that worked differently than anyone ever thought an engine could. With no fuel. Slowly, this ship revealed itself, this humanity, and it actually renewed, almost like it was biological, like it was a body that rejuvenated itself, but it never had, and no one expected it ever would. And those on the lower decks remained afraid. When you said you're going to be okay, it's not going to sink. You see, the ship is alive. They said, that's impossible. That's not happening. Something is wrong. That is evil. And there are so many who saw a rejuvenating ship and were so afraid that nothing changed as long as they lived. And they feared it all their lives until their death. That also is happening right now. Because sometimes when those see light, they don't know what it is, or they think it's fake. And instead of a revelation of beauty and compassion and love, all they see is a cult. And they don't want any part of it. And they will slink to a lower deck in order to find what they're used to until they settle with the others. And they say, I'm happy now because I'm on a deck called fear. And everyone's afraid. So I have everyone on board with me feeling the same way. Slowly the deck started isolating themselves into those who were believing it and seeing it and those who were not. those who were afraid and will always be afraid, and those who would deny what was actually happening before their eyes. The rats all left, all of them. Nobody wanted to go to those decks below 50. But now it seemed to be okay, because those decks below 50, they were starting to clean themselves up. They're below the water line, all of them. And they realized there was no water. It's interesting, is it not, that the ones that were in so much filth and horror were some of the first to come out of it. I have just painted a picture of a new reality, of a new society and a new humanity for the next 300 years. Things are going to happen that you don't expect. Finally, the skipper, who had always been in charge of skippering this ship, his family, those before him, resigned. Because he said, I don't know how to operate this ship. It seems to be operating itself. Higher consciousness is like that. It doesn't need the kind of leadership of an old earth. You haven't seen it yet, and you don't know what you don't know. But higher consciousness in coherence is a consciousness that runs itself in a very, very functional way. That's all I can tell you about what might be coming in the hierarchy of what you call government and management. It won't look the same as it has for the last 200 years. And some of you right now who are astute are seeing your government with some of the pieces falling off. And some of those who don't want to pass laws, all they want to do is eliminate the other one. That's the ship you're on, and it begins now. I told you this morning, the ship won't sink. All of those doomsdayers who are in another kind of reality, in another kind of paradigm, believe that in order to have something different, you have to eliminate what you have. And that means your economy must fail completely. It must go down to the bottom and be rebuilt. That's an old paradigm of the way things used to work. And we're talking about integration. We're talking about new things growing where the old things were and popping up when you didn't expect it. We're talking about the old things slinking away into that dirty ocean as they should. We're talking about new revelations and light appearing where you wouldn't think it would, 50 decks below or more. We're talking about things that no one has predicted. No one. Because you cannot predict what you can't see in another dimensionality, which is a higher consciousness. We said it before, low consciousness cannot look up to a higher one. Once you're higher, you can look down. But because you don't know what you don't know, you can't see it. And I just gave it to you. That is what this shift is about. And in the decades to come, you're going to see a lot of this. And I'll ask you, in this room, those listening to this, in this parable, what deck are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the deck of fear? Are you going to be the ones that said, I knew it. All these rats, they were always there. They're going to eat us alive. They're coming for us. I always knew it. I always knew they were there. The worst of the worst is happening, and we're trapped on this deck. Woe is me. And you know who I'm talking about. Because they're everywhere. As they see that light expose the darkest things on this planet, the unspeakable things that have always been there, they'll have the idea that it's new. And the ship of humanity is doomed. And they won't see it as it is. the exposure of something that has always been there. The exposure of something that will vaporize, because light does that. That cannot exist in a higher consciousness on a ship that's starting to renew itself and becoming stronger and faster and different. I don't think any of you are going to miss this parable or what it means or how it works. But human nature has choices to accept it, to understand it, to work beyond it, to be stuck in it, to fear it, all of those things. That's your choice. Meanwhile, I'll tell you, the old souls of this planet are singing with lyrics about this new ship. And those lyrics include other lyrics about a new Jerusalem, about a new planet, about coherence, about things you didn't plan on, about food for everybody and clean water when you didn't think it was there, about inventions that are coming your way that make sense and will help humanity instead of raping the land. This is the potential. It's why I am here giving you these messages from the creative source, because these are the messages that have happened before in other societies who've gone through exactly what you're going through. Oh, dear ones, free choice is interesting. And in this planet and in these cultures interfacing one another, anything can happen. Two steps forward, a step back, another step back, another step forward. This is up to you. How fast it goes is your decision. It's not coming from the stars. It's not coming from the creative source. And that is why I am here, to inform the souls that will listen not to fear, to hold the light, and to be part of a new ship. You're coming back. You may not think so, but you are. You won't miss this party. You created it. You're not going to miss the graduation. And as you come back, dear ones, you're going to remember. And you're going to know early what's going on. And you're going to join this choir that sings about a new energy, that sings about a coherence of love and compassion that's different than anything that you've ever seen, that starts to change institutions and the way they think, the way they work. Let me make this clear. This has nothing to do with the New Age. It has nothing to do with spiritual systems. All of those things will change accordingly. This has to do with the general population of Earth who will start to feel these things, be part of these things, and under the guidance of those who seem wiser and more loving and kinder, called the old souls. And these are the ones I'm talking to. I want you to hold this vision, because what you're doing today is just the beginning. Be ready for those who are going to race up from the other decks and tell you the ship is sinking. Be ready. And when they do, I want you to recognize them for who they are, and the fear they're in, and the dimensionality they're in. And I want you to love them, hold them, and comfort them, and tell them not everything is as it seems. This is your job. You wonder why you're here? To hold this light of this planet, no matter what you do. Whether you're simply going to work, or simply raising a family, or your grandchildren. You're interfacing with other humans, many of whom are afraid. And this is what you do. You don't have to write a book. You don't have to run for Congress. You just have to hold this light. And even though you don't know the words, you can sing the song about the new ship that's being created right at your feet. And so it is.